Life doesn't happen to you. It happens through you, because planted in the soil of your soul is a seed of infinite potential waiting for the right conditions to grow. And the power to activate it is in your control. That's the law of emergence. And this podcast gives you the tools to turn it on like never before. Welcome to Emergence, a revolutionary path for radical life change with Derek Riedel. Welcome to Emergence, where we dive deeply into the cutting edge or emerging edge strategies, tools, techniques, practices, and processes to really transform your life in a radical way, to take quantum leaps. This is Derek Riedel, your guide on the side, not just a sage on the stage. And I'm really fired up about this conversation today, this talk. It's really a transmission more than just a conversation that's been moving through me now for months and is really what I'm discovering is really part of a series of talks that I've been giving that are, I think, really calling for an entire up-leveling of our fortitude and our resilience and our stamina and our courage to do what this talk title is named today, Whatever It Takes, to get the results that we truly want to get. And not just results in terms of materialistic, acquisitory, you know, elements in the world, but also internally results. You know, if we want to have a deeper connection with peace and we want to grow our sense of peace or our sense of love, that's a very, very difficult path to really embody unconditional divine love. That is not for the faint of heart. As Emerson said, God will not do his work through cowards. And so it takes a mighty level of strength and courage and stamina to be a person of true unconditional love, to be a person of compassion, a person of patience. So this whatever it takes vibration is not merely about whatever it takes to build your business or complete that book or make more money, although it absolutely includes that. And what I've been really becoming aware of, I guess, the pockets within my own life, but also as I work with people from around the world and within our emerging edge community, heart-centered, spiritually minded people, which are just amazing, amazing beings. I mean, all beings are amazing when you get to know them, but they're amazing beings. And however, there's a fatal flaw in the community of heart-centered, spiritually minded beings. And that is that they tend to have a wishbone instead of a backbone. They tend to be more of a doormat instead of a welcome mat. And they tend to have a lot of shadows and guilt and shame around power. And so how that shows up is a lot of resisting power or the power archetypes within their own being and becoming kind of wishy-washy, kind of airy-fairy, kind of navel-gazing, and developing a lot of beautiful, wonderful capacities, perhaps intuitive, healing, intelligence, creativity, you know, loving, kind individuals. And this is wonderful and it's absolutely necessary for our evolution, but they tend to miss these other components. They tend to miss the masculine qualities, the left brain qualities, the structural qualities, the power elements that allow them to take all of this wonderful, beautiful love and spirit and light and creativity and anchor it and ground it and integrate it and manifest it in the world. As you've probably heard me say, it's hard to be a light in the world if you can't pay your light bill. And part of the reason why this is so is that most individuals that are on a path of heart and a path of spirit and soul, they got initiated into that path because of some trauma, because of core wounding, because of experiencing the world as being a scary or out of control place, or being getting the message that something about them was broken or not good enough or deeply unworthy. And so to avoid their ego, their fragile ego, falling apart or getting destroyed or some other kind of inability to be in this world, they had to leave their body on some level and go into their spirit or go into their mind or go into their heart, that spiritual heart, not so much the emotional heart as much as the spiritual heart, and develop those parts so that they could escape the pain that they were feeling emotionally or the fear and the pain they were experiencing in the world. But the beauty of that, the gift of that, is the greater development and the initiation on the path of their spirit, their soul, their heart. But the problem with that is all of the, or a portion of the necessary mental, emotional, and even physical and energetic structures that allow them to really be in the world as a thriving, prosperous, generative, manifesting being, those didn't get as developed. Because again, most of that represents the masculine, the material, the power structures, and that was the source of pain. So they don't get developed, and that's why you see, you know, you tend to have the ones that are running things in this world tend to be those with a very well-developed masculine, very well-developed intellect, very well-developed ability to get things done and to do whatever it takes to get things done, but they don't necessarily have a well-developed heart and spirit and soul. And so I guess I'm feeling this drive more than ever now. I mean, I know that part of my mission is to absolutely help people to be fully in this world, but completely of the divine energies. So that fully awakened, embodied, conscious, loving, generative, awakened beings out there where all the action is totally playing a big game in the world. That's how we're going to manifest heaven on earth, a world that works for the highest good of everyone. So there's this drive to really help you develop these capacities, these structures. And the one theme that I really want to invite you to embrace, and if you haven't already listened to some of the other trainings on commitment, the commitment code, and things like that, please take a listen, because it's really part of this same download or transmission that's happening. But I really want you to begin to embody and embrace this concept, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Because here's the thing, we are not conditioned to handle struggle, to embrace struggle. And when the going gets tough, a lot of the heart-centered, spiritually minded people get going. And I mean that in the sense that they run away, they pull back instead of getting tougher, instead of digging in, instead of becoming more resourceful. And so, you know, this occurs in every area, but, you know, for example, perhaps you're struggling financially and you want to build your dream job or your dream vision, and you're trying to build that, but you find yourself saying, well, I just don't have the money to invest in my education and my growth. I don't have the money to invest in building my business. But meanwhile, you may be working a job that's not making you enough, or you may not be working at all. I mean, I see that happen all the time. People aren't working and they're complaining they don't have enough money to pay their bills or enough money to pay their rent, and especially not enough money to invest in building their vision. But they're not going out there and getting a job or two or three. I mean that. In other words, we're not willing to do whatever it takes. Instead, we complain that whatever we're doing isn't working, whatever technique or strategy or process, it's not working. Or, I love this one, we think it's a sign from the universe that we're not, you know, making enough money over at this job, or that our business isn't taking off. Maybe it means we're not supposed to do it. No, it's a sign that you've been conditioned to be a victim. I'm just going to tell it to you straight. And I'm putting myself in that category. It's a sign that you've been conditioned to be lazy, to be a victim. That when things get difficult and tough, you have, all of us have our default excuses. Oh, it's the economy. It's, you know, there's no good work in the kind of work I want to do, or, it's my partner, it's my spouse, it's the children are demanding more of me, whatever it is. But those are all excuses. And it's, and we've been conditioned that way, and it's, and that conditioning has gotten worse and worse over the last couple of generations. And it's, what it really is, a sign from the universe, is it's a call for you to trade in your wishbone for a backbone, trade in your victim card, and become a victor, become stronger. When the resources are scarce, that is not a sign to back away, back down, complain, don't invest in yourself. No, when the resources are scarce, that is your charge to become more resourceful. During a time of recession, the work is to become more resourceful. And I don't just mean a recession in the stock market or in the economy. I mean, wherever your life is having a recession, there's a recess. It's a pullback. The tide is low. It's calling for you to dig deeper and discover more capacity, more resourcefulness. That's the meaning of it. The meaning isn't cut back, back away, quit, don't invest in yourself, don't invest in your education, don't keep building your business. It's a sign to dig deeper, to discover just how resourceful you are. It's not a sign for you to wait for the economy to change or wait for God to bless you or wait for your archangel to give you a message or wait, whatever the waiting game is. From the emergence model, whatever you're waiting for, you're waiting with and you're weighing it down. And it's a sign to get off your big fat assets and start activating them, because you are a power plant. A power plant doesn't receive the energy, it generates it. And if something's missing, it's because you're not generating it. That's the principle, folks. If it's missing, you're not generating it. There's no judgment at all. There's an understanding of principle. Because you are an infinite individualized expression of life, and all the power and the presence, all the love and the wisdom, all the substance of the universe is within you. And the only way more can come into your life is if you let more life come out of you. There is no other way. Nobody's coming to save you. There is no God even that's going to come save you. No such God exists. The only God there is the God within you. The source within you. And if your resources are low, it's calling you to be more resourceful, which means to be full of source again, which means to be connected to the source within you again, more deeply, more completely, more purely. And then, bam, you begin to activate more of that potential and that recession, that challenge, that lack, that constriction in your conditions was giving you an opportunity to get stronger and more expanded in your channel so that you can now deliver more life, more light, more love, more wealth, more abundance, more genius in the face of whatever condition. You have now evolved. So I really want you to get this. Now, I understand it's hard when you don't seem to have enough time, money, support, and you want to quit. You want to give up on your commitments, your responsibilities, your vision. You want to pull back. You want to wait. You want to take a break. But understand that if you adapt to conditions, meaning you shrink to fit them, what are you going to be on the other side of that recession? Smaller. Smaller. A smaller channel, a smaller level of confidence, a smaller level of competence, a smaller level of faith. And as you do that over time, your channel gets so small that there's just little barely a drip coming out of that. You know what I'm talking about. And again, this is not just financially, but emotionally, creatively, in every area, in every life structure. You have the opportunity to expand in the face of contraction, which is one of the Awakened Wealth Principles. You do not shrink to fit. This is not a shrink to fit path. This is an expand to fulfill. When the resources are scarce, if you've joined a program and you run out of money, you don't quit the program. You get a job or two or three. If you're trying to build your business and you're not feeling like you can afford whatever it takes, you don't give up on that. You do whatever it takes to fund it, to fuel it, to stay with it, to fulfill your commitment, to keep your words and agreement so that you build your character and integrity, so that you fulfill your destiny and you get stronger and stronger. until that becomes your new habit. Now, some of you may know the story of the woman. She was profiled on Oprah. But there was a woman in Africa, and she, you know, living in a little tin shanty. But she got a dream that she wanted to become a doctor someday. Now, talk about a vision that's a stretch. She's living in some little shanty in a little village that I don't even know if they had running water or electricity. And most of the girls didn't even get to go to school. And she had this dream of being a doctor. I think she had 5 kids at the time. And an alcoholic husband that took whatever money she did get and spent it on alcohol and gambling, I think. But she had this dream. And she somehow managed to move to America, to New York. And eventually realized her husband was a deadbeat. So she divorced him. She got rid of him. That was her first good move. And I'm not judging him, you know, but seriously, that was a good move of taking stand for her power. But now she's got, I think it was 5 children, 3 to 5 children, either way, it's a lot of kids of varying ages. And she went and she got 3 jobs, not 1, not 2, but 3. And so she worked 3 jobs, put herself through school, and raised 3 to 5 kids. This is a woman that understood whatever it takes. Now, she could have complained so many times in so many ways, but she didn't. I mean, she may have, but she did it anyways. And it's interesting to note that if you look at the story of immigrants, an immigrant in this country, in the U.S., I'm talking about the United States at this moment, had a much higher likelihood of long-term success than a lot of people that were born here. Because taking it for granted, because when there's a struggle, when you have to struggle, you basically get conditioned to embrace struggle and to not be shocked and surprised by it. You just know struggle is a part of the process of growth. And I'm not affirming you have to struggle, but I am saying that struggle, and most of the reasons why we fail, is because we're conditioned to believe that it's not normal. And when we hit those thresholds and it gets hard and we run out of time, money, energy, support, we hit our emotional thresholds, we give up. We whine and complain and become victims. And that isn't, I'm not saying that there's not compassion on those parts of us. You know that I'm absolutely all about that. But there's the other whole side of it, is that we have to develop this inner stamina and resilience, an embrace of the struggle, even an excitement. Oh my God, I'm about to grow. I'm going to get stronger. So this woman went on to get 3 jobs, put herself through school, raise 5 kids, and become a doctor. You know, when I think about that story, I can't even imagine how I could complain. If I have to get up a little earlier, go to bed a little later, work on the weekends, you know, after a full day's work, I have to go write so I can stay committed to writing my next book, whatever it takes. And I can tell you that the success that I've had in my life, certainly it has a lot to do with my internal work. But I can look very clearly that even with all that internal work, if I didn't do whatever it took, I wouldn't be here. Because there have been so many times along the way where I wanted to quit and give up. And I didn't feel inspired. I didn't feel confident. I was terrified. I was tired. I was, you know, felt unworthy and incompetent. You know, and I'm not talking about years ago. I'm talking about this last year, you know, launching my first live event, putting out my first launch, doing my first book launch, whatever. Every time I go through those same processes and have to bump up against those thresholds at a new level. And because I've disciplined myself as a habit to do whatever it takes, you know, if I'm trying to fill my live event, and here's the thing to understand, that if you are not willing to go get a job or 2 or 3 in order to fund your vision and put food on your table and put a roof over your head and stop having the story that I can't afford it, and begin to build that sense of pride, it won't be that you look, you're going to succeed in spite of having to work three jobs. It's going to be because of it. I remember years ago, my spiritual mentor, when I had to go get a job finally, and I remember at the time I was meditating and praying and doing all this inner work and trusting in God and building my faith. And at one point my wife finally says, and I'm going to curse on this. She goes, just go get a goddamn job. And I remember at first I was like, kind of pissed off at her for challenging me that way. And I didn't feel at the time she fully understood what I was building spiritually, but she was right. We were struggling and I was not really honoring what I needed to do. And that was the job that I ultimately went and got. That was the waiter's job that many of you heard me tell my story about, the waiter's job where I got fired three times. And I won't go through the whole story here again, but it was on that waiter's job that as I fully showed up, see, I was holding this big vision for my life and I was waiting for this vision to happen. And I remember talking to my spiritual mentor and saying, well, you know, I'm doing all this work. I don't want to go distract myself and get this other job, you know? And he said, that job isn't a distraction. That you going out there and getting a job and paying your bills and not having a money issue and proving that you can be resourceful, you're not going to succeed in spite of that job. You're going to succeed because of it, because of how it's going to grow you. Now, I didn't even know at the time, you know, what he meant. I had no idea what I was going to go through, but he intuitively knew that. And as a result of that job and me showing up and bringing that visionary self, bringing the excellence, the creativity, the love, the light to that job as a waiter, is that's where I built my muscles. That's where I became stronger. And it's what launched me. And within, you know, a month of being fired for the third time, I was hired on a job where I went from making $50 a day to $1,000 a day. I went from waiting on people in a 3-star restaurant to being wined and dined in 5-star restaurants. And I began living my larger vision. But it happened on that job that I hated at first and that I didn't want to get. And so if you're struggling financially, as an example, and you're not going out there and looking for and finding a job or two or three, so that you don't have that excuse anymore, you need to get a job. And show that you absolutely are resourceful. And then bring the version of you that you'd be living if you were living your destiny to that job. And as you do that, you will either get fired or leave, or something will break in your destiny job, your dream job, or that job will grow to play with you at a higher level. It will become your workout room, your workout, your gymnasium. But if you're waiting and struggling financially and not actually doing whatever it takes, and my mom was telling me a story about this, and you know, she at the age of 50 went out and ended up getting 3 jobs to pay the bills, even walking into a store and saying, "Hey, you know, I'll sweep the floors if you'll hire me." You know, this is a woman that's been the backbone of many big businesses, you know, behind the woman, behind the man, running the show a lot of times. And she's like, "I'll sweep the floors. I'll do whatever." And she did whatever it took. And if you look at all the great inventors, innovators, leaders, spiritually, creatively, in business and industry, you're going to find that they almost across the board carried this whatever it takes attitude, this whatever it takes consciousness. You know, from you know, like I think like Buddha, you know, when he sat under the Bodhi tree, did he say, "Well, I'm going to sit here, you know, as long as my back doesn't hurt or my butt doesn't go numb or until I'm hungry"? Or no, he made the commitment, "I'm going to sit here until I'm enlightened." Now that is a commitment for those of us that struggle sitting for 10 minutes to meditate. That's another one of those whatever it takes. If you're having a hard time with your spiritual, you know, growth and development, look at your practice. Are you really doing whatever it takes to grow spiritually? If you're struggling financially, are you doing whatever it takes to get the money you need to not have that excuse anymore? And if you got to get up earlier or go to bed later or you know, spend less time watching TV to work on your dream business, again, that's what so many people have done, where they worked a full-time job, got up 3 hours earlier and wrote their book, or came home at the end of the day and after a long day's work, like Stephen King as a janitor, and wrote, you know, his book. Whatever it takes. Buddha sat under the Bodhi tree until he was enlightened. Whatever it took. Same with Jesus. Same with Mother Teresa. Same with Gandhi. Same with Martin Luther King Jr. Same with Disney, Edison, even Colonel Sanders. Edison wasn't like, well, if I don't get it after 100 tries, then I'm going to give up on the light bulb. No, he had a vision, whatever it took. 100, 1,000, 10,000. Same with Disney. Well, if this movie doesn't work or this park doesn't work, I'm going to, no, bankruptcy, bankruptcy. Whatever it takes. And if you look at those individuals that have made a dent in the universe in any area of life, they had that attitude. Even just look back at, you know, what's called the greatest generation, a few generations ago, depending on when you're listening to this. And you see that the work ethic, you know, people would do, they would get a job or two, they would work extra hours, and you would see this work ethic where they would do whatever it took to pay, to get their home, to put a roof over their head, to pay the bills, to put their kids through college. Whatever it took. There was a fortitude. There was a stamina. There was a grit. And as the generations have unfolded through the 60s and you know, the 70s and the me generation of the 80s and all of that, and a lot of the disruption in industry in the 90s and the growth of spiritual consciousness and meditation in the 90s and 2000s, there has been a softening of a lot of people, even people that aren't necessarily spiritually minded and heart-centered. There's become a softening where there's just kind of an expectation that things are going to be given to them, or they're going to blame the government or blame their parents or blame the economy or blame the school system. And we really need to re-embrace that level of grit, the grit of the masters that really understood, you know, that if I need to fast for 40 days and 40 nights, I'll do it. If I need to walk over hill and valley, I'll do it. If I need to work, you know, burn the midnight oil to get this thing done, I'll do it. If I need to try 10,000 times to make that light bulb work, I'll do it. Now, this doesn't mean that there's no balance, that there's no, because you could certainly argue in some of those cases there was a lack of balance. But so you can still have balance. You can still have, take good care of yourself. And if you find that as being, for most of, you know, people listening, that's really not your problem. Unless you're giving too much of your time to things that aren't your true priority. And that's really what's causing you to be overwhelmed, burnt out. You're saying yes to too many other people's yeses and not yes enough to your own. Then the shift has to be learning to say no to other people and say yes to your own yes. And that can be really difficult. So are you willing to do whatever it takes there? So the whatever it takes doesn't just mean you're willing to get three jobs and you're willing to work and burn the midnight oil and you're willing to work even when you're not inspired and go to the gym even when you're tired and write on your book even when you don't have feel creative. It means all of that, but it also means having those difficult conversations to reorganize your life, to make sure your family honors and respects your boundaries so you can live your dream job. Whatever it takes. If you want to invest in yourself, but you don't think that you have the money, you don't quit. You don't say no to that yes. You go find the money. If you want to write that book and you just feel like you don't have the inspiration or the creativity, or now you don't know how to do it, you don't stop because you don't know how to do it. Figuring out how to do it becomes part of your plan. Well, I don't have a list. I don't know how to build a list. Great. Now you know what's on your plan. Figure out how to build a list and do it. Figure out how to write your book and do it. Research it. Take a class. Do whatever it takes to get the money, legally and ethically. Do whatever it takes to reorganize your schedule. Now, this will be difficult. You can do difficult. This will be a struggle. You can do a struggle. This will be hard. You can do hard. You must. And you do the inner work so that you use the hard, difficult, struggling times to make you stronger. You know, if you go want to build your muscles, when you first go lift those weights, it's hard. It's heavy. It's a struggle. It tears your muscles. It hurts. You're sore. But if you keep doing that, that same weight becomes easy to lift. The same is true for your life. When you find yourself bumping into the excuse, I don't have the money, that means you need to build your capacity to earn more money, to manifest more abundance. And that doesn't just mean sitting around and visualizing it. That might mean go get a job, go sweep floors. In fact, you know, when I got that waiter's job, one of my biggest resistances was I was coming off of being an up-and-coming movie star. Now, I didn't reach that status, but I did star in several B films and became, you know, a sort of a low-level kind of teen fan kind of thing, you know, in those teen magazines. I was on a trajectory to that kind of a lifestyle. And I was doing movies and I had, you know, managers and agents that handled big stars, and I was really on an upward trajectory. And then I had a spiritual opening and everything fell apart. So then the idea of going and getting a job as a waiter, I might as well have been cleaning toilets, because, you know, the belief is you start as a waiter and then you become an actor. You don't go from being an up-and-coming actor, having starred in movies and TV, and then become a waiter. Especially in Hollywood, where the people you've been in those movies with live. And that's exactly what happened. I was waiting on tables with people I'd been in movies with. You want to talk about humiliation? You want to talk about humble? Learning to really eat some humble pie? It was humiliating. Almost to a debilitating level. I would go in the back and be just so frozen in embarrassment that I had to go and wait on a table with people that I was in films with. But that level of humility, and I can feel it now in my body, that level of humility was a profound transformative path. So if whatever it takes really does mean whatever it takes, legally and ethically, in order to get the job done, to get the money you need to pay your bills, to get the money you need to invest in your education, to get the support you need, the time you need, whatever it takes. And if you really adopt the whatever it takes premise, there really isn't anything you can't do according to your divine plan. I say according to your divine plan because it's not true that there isn't anything you can't do. I mean, I guess theoretically, but you know, if it's not your divine plan to be in the NBA, instead your divine plan is to be a writer, you're probably not going to be in the NBA. But the potential within you can't be activated until you embrace a whatever it takes attitude. Because most of your genius and potential, hear this, is just outside that threshold that you normally stop at. I don't have the money anymore. I don't have the time. I don't have the energy. I don't have the support. On the other side of that threshold is the beginning of your wealth consciousness, your health consciousness, your creative genius. As you maybe heard me talk about, when you go to the gym and you work out and with a certain weight, and let's say, you know, you can only do 10 reps max. What's the easiest rep to do? And most people would say it's the first one, or maybe the second one, because you got to warm up. Some people say, you know, the first one's the hardest because you got to get to the gym. And that would be true. But, you know, when it comes between the first and the 10th, the first one is the easiest. And the 10th one, they say, is the hardest. and I say correction. It's the 11th. In other words, if you can do 10, you can do 10, but you can't do the 11th, or so you think. So the 11th rep is the hardest, and guess where all the growth happens? The 11th rep. Guess where all the genius and talent capacity gets activated? The 11th rep. Because the 10 reps is where you already live. So if the minute things get really hard, and I don't just mean kind of sort of difficult, little uncomfortable, I mean when you hit that place where you feel like I'm broke, I cannot afford it. When you're in that place where you feel like I don't have inspiration, or I suck and this is never going to work, or I'm terrified, it's never going to happen, it's never going to work. That threshold is the beginning of your genius, is the beginning of you activating real freedom and real wealth capacity and real genius and real potential. Everything up to that point is already where you live. And then once you pass that, and you build and embody that next level, then that's where you live. And then there's going to be another threshold. And eventually you understand the thresholds and you get used to them and even excited about them. And you can move through various thresholds without them taking you out of the game. So if you're wanting to join a program, but you don't think you can afford it, but you really want to be in it, find a way to afford it and watch how you prove to yourself how resourceful you are. That you're not a victim after all in that area, that you can earn whatever you need to invest in your life and to build your life, to pay your bills, and to no longer have the story, I can't afford it. If you're looking to create a project, a business, write a book, develop a program, and you've been wanting to do this for weeks, months, years, but you haven't done it, then there is one of those excuses there. I don't have the talent, the time, the energy, the inspiration. I don't know how. Commit and find a way to do it, no matter what, and finish it, whatever it takes. And watch the level of self-esteem and self-worth and pride and internal integrity and trust you develop, which you will not and cannot ever develop if you don't do it, if you don't start and complete and break through whatever it takes. I promise you, you'll never develop what you really want to develop in your life. That next level of wealth, health, happiness, abundance, success, genius, talent, potential. If you don't embrace the whatever it takes mentality. Because you will stop every time you hit that threshold. And if it looks like you need to get 3 jobs, you may be saying, well, what does that have to do with me living my destiny? And here's what it has to do with that. If there is a threshold where you're sitting there and you would rather complain and be a victim of not having enough money for what you need than going to get the jobs that you need to get to pay for it, whether it means pounding the pavement, knocking on doors as much as it takes, then if you were to get your dream opportunity, you're going to hit that same threshold. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're going to hit the same threshold where it's going to require the same level of, you're going to want to quit. You're going to complain that it's not working or it's not enough. Your list isn't growing. You're not getting enough clients. They're not paying you enough. You're not charging enough. You want to launch, but you're afraid. You don't know how. You want to write your book, but you don't have the time, the energy, whatever. You're going to hit that same threshold and you're not going to be able to get through it. So whatever's presenting itself to you right now, that's where you grow. The plant grows where it's planted, not in the future. If a plant's planted in a little pot and it looks out at the grand field and says, I'm going to be in that field one day, like one of those tall trees, but it doesn't grow in the pot it's planted, is it going to get repotted in a bigger pot? No. If it does fill out that pot, it gets replanted. And then it has to fill out that pot, and then it gets replanted, and then it has to fill out that pot, and then eventually it's big enough, it's too big for any pot, and it gets put in the field. But if at any point it looks in the future. It looks at the field and says, why am I not there? Look at all those other bigger trees. That's too hard. That's too difficult. I can never be there. Or why am I not there? It's not fair. It's, you know, and they're not growing in the pot they're in. That's where they will stay. Or even worse, they'll shrivel and shrink and get put in a smaller pot again. Now, if you think, wow, you're really fired up about this, Derek, you're kind of really preaching on us hard. You're getting up in our grill. Good. Because, you know, my work is not just to comfort the afflicted, but to afflict the comfortable. And I want you to know it's because I know, I believe in you. I know what's in you. I know the capacities, the talents, the genius. I know what your heart and soul aches to express. I know you want to manifest more wealth and abundance and success and opportunity. And I know it'll never happen if you don't get this. Life doesn't just happen. Life happens just. It's orderly. It's lawful. And in order for that next level of life to manifest, you need to become a person living at that next level. You need to have your mental, emotional, physical, energetic structures congruent with that. And if you look at the emergence process, the emergineering, the seven stages, one of the stages is act as if you're already it. And a lot of people just kind of brush over that. You know, they're doing the visualization and affirmations and prayers and meditations, and maybe they're writing their stuff down. Maybe, maybe they're writing it down. Maybe they're putting it in actual vision. Maybe they're creating goals. But even if they do all of that, and they even put it on their schedule, which you must, if they don't take the action consistently and take it even when it's uncomfortable and inconvenient and they're tired and overwhelmed and scared, if they don't stay committed to it and follow through and complete, it will never come to pass. If when the things get tough, they just get going instead of getting tougher, it's never going to happen because they're not going to be able to embody it. They're not acting like the person they want to be. They're acting based on what was or what is, not based on what is meant to be or what is emerging. There's an incongruence there. They are a house divided, and a house divided cannot stand. It doesn't have the structural integrity. You want to know a person, what a person really believes, don't listen to what they say. Look at what they do. Your actions are your affirmations. Your action is your true religion. What you do is what you believe, not what you say. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? So what will you commit to? Where are you struggling? And ask honestly, am I doing everything I possibly can? Am I doing whatever it takes? As I've used often the example, you know, let's say you're struggling, you need to earn an extra $500 a month to pay your bills or to invest in some educational program you're doing, and you're giving an excuse that you can't and you want to quit. If you had a child and it would require an extra $500 a month to pay for their medical, maybe they had a disease and they needed medicine and it cost $500 extra a month, would you say to that child, I'm sorry, honey, you know, I've got this bigger dream for my life and I just can't go getting another job because I don't want to work a job that I don't like. So I'm afraid I can't afford your medicine. Hell no. You know it. If you're a parent, you would get as many jobs as it takes. Heck, you would rob a bank. And I'm not suggesting that, but you would do whatever it takes and you'd do it. Like the mother that can lift a car off of her child, if that's what it needs to save their life. You would do whatever it takes, and you would discover a capacity heretofore unimagined in you. So we're often willing to step in front of a train for a loved one, but rarely willing to step out of our own comfort zone for ourselves. Did you hear that? I want you to realize your life depends on it. And I want you to embrace this challenge no more that you will have the excuse, I don't have the money, I don't have the time, I don't have the energy, I don't have the support. Then get it. Create it. You are an emanation of God made in the image and likeness of the divine, infinite power and intelligence. Prove it. Live as if it's so. Write out the 25 ways to manifest more sheet and find a way to pay for that program. Find a way to invest in your education. Find a way to finish that book. Find a way to launch that program. Find a way to get the support, the partnership, whatever it takes. No more excuses. You are a cosmic infinite being acting like you are. You're a king acting like you're a pauper. You're a queen acting like you're a pauper. And my job is to hold you in the light of who you really are. And your job now is to do the same. So what will you commit to? Look at that area where you're struggling and pick something that you're going to make a new commitment, whatever it takes. I'm going to get it done. I'm going to work 3 jobs if I have to. I'm going to read 3 books if I have to, 10 books if I have to. That's another thing. You know, you look at some of these individuals that have really busted out and grown in the thought leader industry, and you'll find out they didn't just go read a book here and there. They went and they got 10 books on the topic, and they didn't just put them on their shelf and hope they got around to them. They created a learning plan like they were in school, and they dove in and read and wrote about and journaled about and applied everything they learned from those 10 books. They didn't just take one course. They took 3, 4, 5. They invested, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars in their growth and education. Not once they had it, but they did whatever it took because they understood the value. They got up early and went to bed later and worked on the weekends in order to get that book written, in order to develop that program. They created crappy videos just to have created something. You know, my first program, The Law of Emergence, was pretty crummy audio. It wasn't great. The whole thing was kind of not great, but it got it out there. It got it, as Seth Godin says, shipped. I shipped it. And it ultimately went on to make hundreds of thousands of dollars to launch The Law of Emergence and the Emergence brand. So you have to be willing to do whatever it takes to get the result you want. Not to do it until it gets hard. Not to do it until you can't afford it. Not to do it until you don't have the time, the energy, or the inspiration. If you can't afford it, then you must afford it. You must build the muscle. You must find a way to afford it. If you don't feel like you have the inspiration, then you must do it until you're inspired. If you don't feel like you have the energy, then you must do it and activate the energy. Do you understand what I'm saying? That way you prove that you're not a victim of conditions, not even of your own mental, emotional, and physical conditions, because you are a divine power plant and you can generate infinite energy and supply. Now you become unstoppable. So if you're saying, I can't afford it, your job there is to be an apprentice under mastering the ability to manifest more money. And that doesn't mean just sitting around visualizing. That means getting jobs if you need to. If you find yourself wanting to exercise and get in better shape and you find yourself saying, I don't have the energy or the time, your job is to apprentice under mastering your management of your energy and time so that you can do what you need to do to get in the greatest shape of your life. If you find yourself not being able to write that book or create that program because you don't know how and you don't have the inspiration, your job is to apprentice under mastering the ability to be a professional. A professional doesn't wait for inspiration. They do the job and activate the inspiration. And they do the job even if they're not inspired. If your plumber called you up when your toilet's overflowing and said, sorry, I can't work on your toilet today. I'm just not feeling inspired around plumbing. I've kind of lost my steam around the whole plumbing thing for this day or this week. You'd be like, pull up your, you know, those pants, you know, and get your butt over here. I was going to say something else, you know, like you wouldn't, you'd be like, what are you talking about, man? Right. You know, or you just fire that plumber and get another one. But when it comes to you being a professional coach, ride, teacher, author, healer, whatever, do you hold yourself to the same standard? Or do you wait for inspiration, energy, comfort, convenience? So this is your charge. Look at those areas and pick one. And just practice over the next 30 days applying this principle, whatever it takes. And just find out how far you're capable of going. You might be wonderfully surprised and delighted at what's possible. And you'll also run into all these other unconscious patterns that have been unconsciously sabotaging you so that you can finally heal them. All right, so I hope this has been helpful. I know I'm fired up around this, even more so than I thought when I started talking about it. Let us know how this is serving you. If you're listening to this on our podcast, leave a review. If you're listening to it in some other aspect of our community, post on Facebook what you thought about it with a link to it. Or if you're in one of our mastermind groups, post in that group. Let us know what you're learning. Let us know what you're committed to. Let us know the actions you're taking. Get engaged, get involved, and get to work. And until next time, remember to live authentically, love unconditionally, and follow your destiny, whatever it takes. Thank you for listening to the Emergence Podcast. Please visit emergencetraining.com to learn more and get a free training on the law of emergence. Thank you once again, and stay inspired.